Good morning.
Whoa. I'm going to stand back here. Our first scripture reading this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Psalms. We were reading from chapter 146, beginning in verse 1. We will be reading responsibly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Our gospel scripture reading for today is found in the New Testament book of Mark. We are reading from chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right for the children's bread to be thrown to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from this region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on them. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears. After spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, "Ephphatha," which says, "Be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Well, again, good morning and welcome everybody, those here at Emmanuel, those maybe around Emmanuel, listening on FM 88.1, those listening on our podcast, on our website, or through our YouTube channel as there as well. May the love and grace and peace of God be with you all. Amen. What I'd like to do with you for these few minutes today is walk through the text that we have today for a bit, making a few comments, and then provide a couple of takeaways. Things to take away from our text and apply it to our lives. Okay, fair enough. So we find ourselves in the Gospel of Mark. It is the earliest gospel written and the shortest of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tell the story of Jesus. Mark is a story that just moves right along. Immediately this, immediately that, then this, then that. You can almost get out of breath just reading it. And we are in a section of Mark where Jesus is doing amazing things one after another. Casting out demons, healings, feeding the 5,000, walking on water, calming the storm. And just prior to the section that we have for today, Jesus is teaching about clean and unclean food, and in our section a bit about clean and unclean people. Our section begins with Jesus apparently looking for some R&R, at least to be off the grid for a time, below the radar. He didn't want anyone to know where he was. So what do you do to get away? It's like what we do. You go north to be by the water. And this is what he did. North to the port city of Tyre, 30 miles to the northwest on the Mediterranean Sea. Now Tyre was a prosperous port city. And this was non-Jewish country. But apparently even there, people had heard about Jesus. And what happens is that a woman from this area approaches Jesus, and this whole scene, you might say, is out of bounds. No instant replay or challenge on the field needed. This whole scene is clearly out of bounds. Women were not to approach men in public. Women were to be unobserved. And if you did make a scene, that could be grounds for divorce. She approached Jesus and talked with him. She was not Jewish. There was a cultural taboo about that between Jews and non-Jews. The only women who talked to men in public were prostitutes. So there are some scholars who speculate, maybe this woman, we don't know. What we do know, she falls at his feet, a position of worship, and she begs Jesus to drive a demon from her daughter. Then the troublesome reply from Jesus. He says, first let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs or the pups, little dogs. What Jesus was doing, he was using a cultural Jewish idiom for non-Jewish people. The Gentiles were called dogs or pups. There's a saying that's recorded in the Talmud. Now remember, the Talmud is a historical group of rabbinic teachings. There's a teaching there that says, as sacred food was intended for men, but not for dogs, so the Torah, God's law that gives life, was intended to be given to the chosen people, the Jews, and not the Gentiles, not the dogs, not the pups. What Jesus is saying is that Israel gets first dibs, and then the Gentiles. And this priority is echoed in other parts of Scripture. Israel first, then the rest. Preach the good news, beginning in Jerusalem, and then take it everywhere else. Now the woman responds, she says, you're right, Jesus, I don't deserve this. Yep, I'm a dog, I'm a Gentile. But even the dogs, the Gentiles, the pups, get scraps of this bread of life who Jesus is. Even if it's just a little bit, a scrap, a mustard seed, it's enough. To which Jesus says, good answer. You may go. The demon has left, permanently left. So in this episode, a healing from a distance. And all of this happens in the region of Tyre, which just so happens to be a part of the promised land that God gave to the 12 tribes of Israel. This portion allotted to the tribe of Asher, and this portion was never claimed and never settled. So now here is the true Israel, Jesus, claiming God's realm in the land God gave to Israel long ago. And that's the first part of our story today. Okay? And then from Tyre, he went to Sidon, another port for the further north, and then his journey began to bend to the south. So he went north to go south. He took the long way to get there, and the speculation is to avoid his home country, where he was in conflict with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and even his hometown. So south to the Sea of Galilee, further south to the south end of the sea, to a region called Decapolis, a a grouping of 10 little cities, towns, villages. And it was there a group of people bring their friend. And they too begged with Jesus to place his hand on him. For he was deaf and he was not able to speak. And this healing that was about to happen was not going to be from a distance. No, this one was going to be up close and personal and private and intimate. It says Jesus took him aside, away from the crowd. He put his fingers in his ears. Could this be the first wet willy ever recorded? I don't know. It doesn't say he used spit with his ears. Then with the spit on his hands, he touched the man's tongue. Now imagine what that was like. I mean, you and I, we go to the dentist, there are rubber gloves and masks and pieces of gauze and tools, no contact. Jesus' fingers, laced with saliva, touching his tongue, full contact. It was a common belief that saliva was a healing agent. I think we do it too, a little cut on the hand, you know? And Jesus looked up to heaven, signifying, this is going to be a God thing now. And then a deep sigh, a cleansing breath, and he said, "Ephphatha," in Aramaic, means be opened. And what happened, as you heard, his ears were opened. He could hear, very likely for the first time. Imagine what that was like, to hear the voices of his friends, the voices of his family, the voices of his wife. Yikes, huh? No? The wind and the trees, the rush of water, the children at play. Think of the sounds. And he could speak clearly and plainly. And now that he could talk, what does Jesus say? He said, "Don't tell anyone." And I'm sure the guy is going, "You're kidding me, right? I can hear, I can speak, and we are not to tell anyone about it?" Like, right. Some speculate that Jesus is using reverse psychology here. Don't do this. Making sure they do it all the more. It's like the parent trying to get their teenage daughter to clean up her room. Mom said, no, don't clean up your room. When your boyfriend gets here, I want him to see the room you like to live in. Or the parent trying to get a young one into the bathtub, but gets one refusal after another. The parent says, "Okay, if there's no bath, that means bath time is over. So if bath time is over, it's bedtime." Reverse psychology. Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." As he says this, does he have a wink in his eye? Or was he serious? Either way, it didn't work. And the more people kept talking about it. It says the people were overwhelmed and amazed, saying he has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, if you were a Jewish person familiar with Scripture, you would make the connection to the prophet Isaiah in 35:5 about the coming hope of restoration of Israel, about the coming of the Lord. And one of the signs of the Lord's coming, of his arrival, is that the deaf will hear and the mute will speak. So Jesus is fulfilling Scripture and Isaiah's prophecy. So today, two healings, one from a distance, one up close and personal. So what are the takeaways from this for us? Let me suggest two. One, Jesus was sent first to his own people, the people of Israel, the original insiders, as it were, then sent to the outsiders. That's us. So now in Christ, we have been chosen by God. We have been grafted into God's chosen people, making us now insiders. And we wait for the day when we will be united with the people of Israel and all kinds of others all over the world who see Jesus as God's Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed. He is the one who died on a cross as a sacrifice, a payment for our sin, so that we can live with God today and forever. And we did nothing to earn this or deserve this. It's pure grace. It is a sheer gift, and it's received by faith, believing it to be true. By God's grace, we are now insiders. The second takeaway, Jesus says, don't tell anyone about this. So I'm telling you, don't tell anyone about this. I mean it. People don't need to know about this. There's a story in the Alpha Course, a man who was reluctant to become a Christian, thinking he would have to tell everyone about it. So he met privately with his pastor upstairs, and the pastor reassured him, if you become a Christian, you don't have to tell anybody. And this came as great relief for this man. So the pastor prayed with him to receive Christ, became a Christian. The man went downstairs where family and friends were gathered, and he told all of them, he said, guess what? I'm a Christian, and I don't need to tell anyone about it. He told everybody that. So don't tell anyone what God has done for you in Christ. Don't tell anyone in the way you live, in what you say, in what you give, in what you share, and how you care. Don't tell anyone. But how can you not?